right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello, and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Yes, it is me. I've got a really bad cold at the moment, and so rather than inflict my horrible voice on you with constant sniffing and coughing, I have got an AI voice generator to do it for me. You know what? This is a lot easier. I might do this from now on. Today, I'm recording this. Well, not actually recording. You know what I mean. On Saturday 14th the October, which is National Album Day. So I thought it would be a good chance to go through your guys' ranking of all Britpop albums. A few months back, I ran polls on my Twitter account, asking you guys to score every Britpop album, similar to how we do the Oasis AZ rankings. Now, any time you have this sort of ranking or poll, you get into the what is Britpop debate. In this case, I am going via my gaff, my rules. If to me, I thought it was Britpop at the time, or looking back, it feels like it was Britpop, then I am counting it. For example, I haven't included more dancier acts like Chemical Brothers and The Prodigy, or heavier bands like Terrorvision and Therapy. So anyway, let's crack on with the list, shall we? I won't discuss all of them, but I will jump in and give my thoughts on a few as we go. In 121 ste, and last place, is No Coincidence by Jocasta, with an average rating of 2.15. I think a lot of these lower-rated ones really suffer from people not really knowing them, and so scoring them low because they assume they must be rubbish. This album really isn't rubbish and definitely doesn't deserve to be in last place. It's actually a very good album, very much sounding like 1997 with huge guitars and strings throughout. A big, bold and ambitious album, although unfortunately Jocasta got dropped on the day it released and they never really recovered. Place we have Dunce by Molly Halfhead. Now this is one of the only albums on the list that isn't available on streaming or even on YouTube, so I actually had to buy it on CD. Even more so than Jocasta, that probably explains the low ranking, because the vast majority will have never heard it. It is definitely worth tracking down, though especially for Oasis completionists, as there is an Oasis connection through lead singer Paul Bardsley, who I have interviewed on the Oasis podcast, because he was in a band with Noel called Fantasy Chicken and the Amateurs. 119, we have Rubbernecking by Elka, 118th place, is first by the Gaias, and 117, the Is Volcanoes, by Tiny Munro. Number 116 is another one, not on streaming, Lux by Thurman. These were an Oxford band that I remember seeing back in Oxford Sound City, 1997, and the album is really worth checking out, very intelligent and witty lyrics with that brilliant bombastic Britpop sound. 115 Flamingos Plastic Jewels, 114 Soda Artificial Flavor, and then 113 we have Smaller with Badly Badly. Now, as Oasis fans, you should know Smaller, this was Diggsy's band, and the album is a hidden gem from the Britpop era. The star is Diggsy, with his dark and hilarious lyrics, with Beatles-esque song structures, but with post-punky, discordant guitars. 112 Salad with Drink Me. 111 The Auteurs with Now I'm a Cowboy. 110 Monaco Music for Pleasure. Monaco had some good Oasis connections. They were founded by Peter Hook from New Order, who was the presenter on Oasis' first ever radio session. Hit the North plus David Potts from the band auditioned for Oasis in 2000 when Giggs and Bonehead left, but didn't get it because he apparently tried to rewrite the chords to Wonderwall. 109. We have David DeVant and his spirit wife with Work, Love Life, Miscellaneous. This was a big album for me when it came out with hilarious lyrics and massive choruses. 108. We have Geneva with Further, and then 107. It's another Oxford band and one of my personal favorites. The Candy Skins with Fun. Another one not on streaming, although this is at least on YouTube. First track, Wembley, is an absolute banger, but the whole album is very special. 106. The Auteurs again with New Wave. 105 Salad with Ice Cream. Sounds delicious. 104 60F Dolls, The Big Three. 103 These Animal Men, Accident and Emergency. 102 My Life Story with The Golden Mile, and 101 the earliest album on here, and the only one from 1992, Denim with Back in Denim. Right into the top 100 at 100, we have Baby Bird with Ugly Beautiful, 99 One of These, Be a Girl. That one should be a lot higher up for me. You and Me, Song is the classic track, but the whole album is great. And just to clarify, yes, they are Swedish, but along with the Cardigans, who we will hear from later, they are honorary Britpop, and so are allowed in. 98, we have Ride with Tarantula, from 1996. Ride are a tricky one, because their earlier albums Nowhere and Going Blank Again are typically deemed to be the classics, but they are just too early and shoegazy to count as Britpop. But Tarantula certainly does, as does Carnival of Light, which we will hear about later.
Right, let's try a different voice, shall we? Oh wow, in the words of Mansoom, being a girl, what an experience. And speaking of Mansoom, oh wait, no, is it Mansoom next? I didn't time that very well. Oh well, next up it is the Candy Skins again, this time with their better known Sunday Morning Fever album. This got them a lot more exposure in the UK, especially performing live on TFI Friday, which was a massive deal for me at the time, like your local team getting through to the latter stages of the FA Cup. 96, we have Heavy Stereo with Deja Voodoo, and if you don't know the Oasis connection here, then you need to return your Oasis fan membership card straight away. 95, we have Eddie Juan Collins with Gorgeous George. Wasn't sure whether to include this one, but A Girl Like You was such a big hit at the time, I felt like the album had to be in there. 94, we have Gorky's Exigotic Mindsea with Barra Fundle. I wonder how the AI voice coped with that one. 93, it's My Life Story again with Mornington Crescent. 92, it's These Animal Men again with Come On, Join the High Society. 91, we have Dubstar with Disgraceful, another one I wasn't sure about including, but I think they deserve it. A great album, and I especially love their cover of Billy Bragg's Saints with In's Day. 90, it is The Wanna Dies Again with Bagsy Me. Cheekily, they put You and Me song on this album as well, after it had been a massive hit, and speaking of hit, that's probably my favourite track on here. Drop in a clip, future JC. 89, we have Jean drawn to the deep end. 88, Echo Belly with Lustra. 87, Tiger with We Are Puppets. And 86, and massively underrated, Silver Sun with their self-titled debut. I bloody love a bit of Silver Sun. 85, we have Marion with This World and Body. 84, Kaniki Are at the Club. Remember Lauren Laverne used to be an indie punk scamp before she went all Radio 4? 83, we have McCalmont and Butler with The Sound of McCalmont and Butler, aka the song Yes, and then you can skip the rest. 82, we have Boo Radley's Giant Steps, and this should be a lot higher. I've been listening to it a lot as it recently celebrated its 30th anniversary, and I am due to cover it on Britpop History Podcast. This is a masterpiece of an album, so if you only know of the Boos through Wake Up, then you should really check this out. Next up at 81, as mentioned earlier, it's Carnival of Light by Ride. At 80, we have the Dodgy album by Dodgy. This was their debut album released in 1993 before they really found their feet. 79, we have Space Tin Planet, one of only five albums from 1998 on the list. It is quite late, but with tracks like Avenging Angels and the Ballad of Tom Jones duet, with Series Matthews being such iconic singles, it had to be on there. And talking of Series, at 78, we have Catalonia's Way Beyond Blue. At 77, it's the Boo Radleys again with Simon Kids, and then at 76, there's our other honorary Britpop Swedes, the Cardigans with Life. 75, we have another situation similar to Ride with James' Whiplash album. James released multiple albums going back to 1986, but only really Whiplash from 1997, with lead single She's a Star, feels like a true Britpop album. T74, and 73, we have two members of the newly formed supergroup Mantra of the Cosmos, Sean. Ryder in Black Grape with their second album Stupid, 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 and Andy Bell with his post-ride band Hurricane No. 1. T72 and 71, we have two Saint-Etienne albums next to each other with identical scores, so Tough and Tiger Bay, and then at 70 we have Space's debut album, Spiders. If you only know Space from their singles, you should really check it out. It's a really eclectic album. T69, we have Northern Uproar with Yesterday, Tomorrow, Today. Northern Uproar are often the go-to option when people look to name a bad Britpop band, but they've obviously got a lot of fans seeing as this. Their two-end and less famous album is as high as this and ahead of some absolute classic. 68, we have Lush Life by Love, another one of those earlier bands that had a foray into Britpop, and this was a great album with some killer singles including Lady Killers, Single Girl, and CIO, a duet with Jarvis Cocker. 67, the Northern Uproar boys are back with their self-titled debut, making Lush the meat in a Northern Uproar sandwich. Not a very pleasant image. Sorry, Mickey. 66, we have Echo Belly with Everyone's Got One. 65, it's Corner Shop with When I Was Born for the Seventh Time. I actually interviewed Tejinder from Corner Shop a few years back. There's Come Fun Oasis connections there. Make sure you check out that episode. 64. We have an album that if you looked up Britpop in the dictionary, it would probably have a picture of Nuisance by Menswear. A fun album with some great tracks, maybe unfairly maligned because they got picked on for the way they got pushed to the moon before they'd even played a gig. 63. We have Olympian by Jean. 62. First Band on the Moon by the Cardigans. And we are starting to get into some proper classic territory here. 61, we have Homegrown by Dodgy. That was their 94 album with Staying Out for the Summer on it. At 60, it's A Lesser No One, White Out with Bite It. A band that are important in the Oasis story, as they started a tour together as the headliner, but by the end of it, following Oasis' supersonic rise, their places had definitely swapped out. 59, we have Boo Radley's Wake Up, which is the highest placed of their three on the chart, although I might suggest that's because more people know the song Wake Up Boo and are giving high marks for that than for the albums themselves. 58, it's Travis with Good Feeling. It's the only Travis album included because I feel by the time we get to The Man Who in 1999, we are well into the post-Britpop era. It's almost a shame that more acoustic I sound of The Man Who was so successful, because Good Feeling was a great album with some bangers, but they would never be that rocky again. 57, we have The Supernaturals with It, doesn't matter anymore. And at 56, we have Sleeper with Please To Meet You. Two bands we will hear from again with higher ranked albums at 55. It's a very special, if short album, a short album about love by The Divine Comedy. It may only have 7 tracks and be just over 30 minutes long, but it's an incredible collection of songs, including the single Everybody Knows, Except You, which has some of my favorite lyrical witticisms. Drop it in future Jays.
I told all of my friends again and again and again. I drove them round the bend. So now you're my only friend. I told the passersby.
For the next three, we have bands that have been active long before Britpop, but then released important albums in the mid-90s at 54, we have The Real People with What's on the Outside. We all know their Oasis connections, and if you don't, then go and check out my episode with Chris Griffiths. Great band though, and a great album. 53, it's Grand Prix by Teenage Fan Club, a classic album that transcends the Britpop genre, but I had to chuck it in here. 52, it's Dizzy Heights by The Lightning Seeds, the album that followed up on Ian Brody's involvement with the track Three Lions. We will be hearing from them again later. 51, it's Mansoon with their debut Attack of the Grey Lantern, and I would say that this should be higher, as I think this is an exceptional album. But if I said that for every track then, that wouldn't make sense because I would end up saying it for most of them. Into the top 50, and it's the last of Dodgy's three albums, Free Peace Suite. This is the one where they have bleached blonde hair. Except the drummer. He is usually wearing a hat anyway. 49, we have The Divine Comedy Casanova, their most heralded album, although they have some other amazing albums as well, including Fin de Siècle, which came out 31st of August 1998. So I thought of including it, but it just felt a bit too late. 48. It's The Long Pigs, The Sun Is Often Out. If this was rating the first four tracks on an album, I think this would be a lot higher, as this album comes out of the gates strong with Lost Myself, She Said, Far and On and On. It does fall away a bit after though, so maybe they shouldn't have front-loaded it too much. 47. It's Cast. I wonder if the AI voice will say cast like a northerner, like the A in cat, or like a southerner, like the A in art. This is the first of two Cast albums, Mother Nature Calls. How high will the other one place? Will it be one? No, that will be Oasis. Come on, it's the Oasis podcast for fuck's sake. 46, and interestingly, in a very similar vein to Mother Nature Calls, it's a 1997 release. It's a second Britpop album from one of the more lad rock bands. It's Marchin' Already by Ocean Colour Scene. They too have another album to show up later. And speaking of the more unfashionable bands from the time, at 45, it's Embrace's The Good Will Out. It's always a question whether Embrace should make it into Britpop things, as they were a bit later. But with the singles having come out going back to February 1997, I think they need to be included. Next up at 44, it's On by Echo Belly, the last of their three albums here, and the most successful with their singles Great Things and King of the Curb. At 43, it's the Modfather Akeah Paul Weller with Heavy Sue, the first of three albums for him. 42, it's one that has been on regular rotation for me for what now? Ooh, 27 years. It's K by Kula Shaker. An absolutely amazing album from start to finish. 41, it's the other James album that I decided just snuck into classification, Laid. As someone that came through in late 1994, I never really thought of this as a Britpop album, but looking back now, I think it makes sense. Into the big top 40 now, and it's the first appearance from the Manic Street Preachers. This Is My Truth. Tell Me Yours. It's another later one that could be counted as post-Britpop, but I think it's got to be in here. At 39, it's the first appearance for Shed 7 with their debut, Changegiver. Personally, I've never rated this album that highly, as other than a few good singles, I don't think they had quite found their sound yet.
The Lightning Seeds are back with Jollification, their big Britpop breakthrough. I suppose you could argue their 1992 album sense should be in there. 37, we have a great album from a band that usually get lumped in with the post-Britpop scene, but with this album coming out in 1997, I think. It needs to be in there. Word gets around by the Stereophonics. What an amazing album. It's like each song is a brilliant short story. 36, we have the first of three albums from the Charlatans. 1994 is up to our hips, featuring some great tracks, including singles Jesus, Hairdo, Can't Get Out of Bed, and maybe the longest single title ever, I Never Want an Easy Life If Me and He Were Ever to Get There. How did that even fit on the CD cover? 35, and it's the first appearance from one of the so-called Big Four Swede with Dogman Star. An epic album, and the last to feature Bernard Butler. 34, it's the Blue Tones with Return to the Last Chance Saloon, another later one from 1998, but it had to be in there. Fantastic album with some killer tracks, including Sleazy Bed Track, although knowing what we know now that one hasn't aged that well, 33, and it's the first appearance of one of my favorite bands, SFAOK. SFAOK. SFA, okay? It's the Super Furry Animals with Radiator. Absolute classic with not a duff track on there. Plenty of gruff tracks, though. 32, it's Swede again with Coming Up. I know a lot of people love this period of Swede, but I never liked it. Once Bernard left, I think a lot of the magic went, and it felt like Brett went over top going oh-ho in every song. It's the only appearance for the Seahorses with Do It Yourself. Oasis Connection Alert. This album features Love Me and Leave Me, which is the first writing credit for Liam Gallagher a couple of years before the masterpiece that is Little James. Did you know the Seahorses is actually an anagram of a Hates Roses? When this was pointed out to John Squire, He said it was a coincidence, and they were going to change the name to just Seahorses. I remember that from back in the day, but I also think James Hargreaves may have made a 6-part video breaking down anagrams of every Britpop band name. The truth is out there, JH, keep fighting the good fight. Into the top 30 and it's Black Grape again, with It's Great When You're Straight. Yeah, yeah. I don't think people realize now how big Black Grape were back then. The album went to number one, and Reverend Black Grape won the NME Signal of the Year for 1,995.29, its Sleeper's debut, Smart. I would have thought that would be their top-rated one, but there is one more to come. I kind of met Louise at the Speakeasy Festival a couple of years ago. I can't remember exactly how it went down, but I think I was really cool. 28, it's Elastica's self-titled album. Wow, not even a top 20 for this one. I would have thought top 10 on Reputation alone, but to be fair, while it has got a bunch of bangers, it's not necessarily the deepest album, so I suppose that's fair enough. 27, it's The Verve with a Northern Soul, aka the album where Richard Ashcroft took over and said, enough space jamming, I'm going to write some proper tunes. History is an absolute classic. And On Your Own would be, except for that weird bit at the end when he goes leet. Gotta get rid of this hole inside, and he goes. What was he thinking? Drop in the clip, JC. You know it makes sense. It's The Charlatans with The Charlatans. Come to think of it, that was probably my first exposure to The Charlatans, as it was on Shine 3, which I hammered, and I absolutely loved that track. What a band. What an album. 25 now, and it's Paul Weller again with Wild Wood. Once again, maybe feels a bit early, but it is an incredible album, and Weller was such an important figure in the era that it had to be in there. What a record. 24, it's the first appearance of Supergrass. I wonder if that will come out sounding northern or southern. I suppose if I write Supergrass and put an R in the middle of grass, that will make it definitely sound southern, which it should, because they are good Oxford boys. This is a great album, proving the first album wasn't just a fluke and filled with classics like Tonight and Richard III 23. It's the official end of Britpop. With Pulp, this is hardcore. I think Britpop Memories usually points to the release of Party Hard, the last single off this album, as the end of Britpop, and I think that's as good a place as any. It's an incredible album, though. At the time, I was disappointed with the lack of big tunes, but it's one that I often come back to. Interestingly, we now have 3 of the 4 Blur albums included in a row. What are the chances of that, eh? 22, it's The Great Escape. 21, it's Modern Life is Rubbish. And 20, it's Blur, a K, a one with song 2 on it. Woo-hoo indeed. That does seem low for those 3 albums, although this was voted for by Oasis fans. So let's be honest, they are lucky to have made the top 100.
Food processors are great.
It's the other super furry album, their debut Fuzzy Logic. Any album that has a song where a man sings to his hamster to get him to run around in his wheel to use the electricity to power his house, but then the hamster replies asking for food, is a great album. Yes, they did like a bit of the old wacky baxi. Could you tell? At 18, it's the other cast album, All Change. This was a massive one at the time. I think everyone in the country had at least two copies. 17 It's Suede's self-titled debut, aka the album that started everything. Fair play to them. They were never my favorite, but I have learned to appreciate them, especially Bernard's guitar work. Team Bernard all the way. 16 It's Sleeper, the IT Girl. I said earlier that I though smart would be higher, but I suppose this was the one that came out after it was in between her and Louise's mouth and pushed them into the limelight. It's a great album as well, with tracks like What Do I Do Now and Sale of the Century. At 15 It's, wait what? This can't be correct. This must be an error. Start the whole thing again. How the actual fuck can Oasis be here now be 15th? It is the best Britpop album of all time. The best album of all time. Fuck it, it is the greatest work of art of all time. Seriously though, I can understand why it's here. All of these are now averaging 4.3 out of 5 and I can understand why a lot of people didn't give it a 5, especially compared to the other Oasis albums that will have got 5. What the fuck though, 15? Outrageous. Compose yourself. Okay, I'm back. What's next? Ocean Color Scene, Mosley Shoals. Another absolute classic. Personally, I think it gets a bit too chilled later on in the album, but hey, what do I know? I think Be Here Now is the greatest work of art in history. 13, we have another classic. They are coming thick and fast now. It's the Manics with Everything Must Go. Absolutely incredible record from start to finish, and especially when you think what they were going through at the time. Love that band. 12, it's the Charlatans again with Telling Stories, and it's another album following up from the loss of a band member. I suppose this was their peak Britpop album, with the likes of How High, North Country Boy and The Amazing One to Another. 11, it's Ash with 1977. This is the only Ash album I included, because Trailer isn't a proper album and Nuclear Sounds feels a bit late. This is an incredible album and one I absolutely hammered at the time. Plus it's one I often go back to. I remember my CD player at the time, I could program in which tracks to play, and this album was great because I could program in either a bunch of rockers in a row or a bunch of chill tracks in a row. One to avoid though is Sick Track. Owen Morris is a wrong un. Into the big top 10, and we kick off with our old mate Supergrass with I Should Coco. Massive album for me, seeing as they were from just up the road and were only a couple of years older than us. At 9, it's Pulp with His and Hers. A remarkable record with some incredible tracks. As I suppose a lot of people did, I got into Pulp in 1995 and then went back to His and Hers. I recorded their Glastonbury headline set off the radio, so that's how I got to know a lot of those tracks. Number 8, and it's the Blue Tones, Expecting to Fly. Famously the album that knocked What's the Story Morning Glory off number 1. I remember at the time people said they were a Stone Roses ripoff, but I could never see it. They have a song called Can't Be Trusted, spelt with an R to make it be pronounced in the southern way. Cheeky.
At 7, it's Shed 7 with A Maximum High. I'd say over the years Shed 7 are the Britpop band whose stock has risen the most over the years. They were pretty much a B or C level band that time, but now they are selling out arenas when a lot of bands that were much bigger than them back in the day struggle to sell out pubs. Just goes to show the quality of the songwriting, I suppose. 6, it's Paul Weller's Stanley Road, a really important album and one it was remarkable that Weller was making era-defining albums, almost 20 years on from the Jam's debut. Into the top 5, and it's the Verve Urban Hymns. What interesting parallel careers Oasis and the Verve had. Oasis starting out supporting Verve as they were then before going stratospheric, and the Verve, as they then became, supporting them. But then with Urban Hymns being released just after Be Here Now, they effectively went head to head. And to be fair, unless you are insanely biased like me, By pretty much every metric you want to look at, Urban HYMS surpassed it. Top 4 now, and we have Parklife by Blur, a very special record with some jaunty fun tracks like the title track through to absolute classics like This Is a Low and End of a Century. I was lucky enough to see them at Wembley this summer, and it was one of the best gigs I have ever seen. No anti-Blur bias over here, mate. Top 3, and the award for top album not released by Oasis goes to Pulp Different Class. This is very much deserved, and at the time, as much as I loved Oasis, it was the word pulp that I scratched into my desk at home, much to the chagrin of my parents. Every track was like a short film and warranted regular re-listens. People often say I listened to the tape until it wore out, with Different Class 1 literally did. I had to then go and buy it on CD after. So top 2 then, and unsurprisingly it's come down to the first 2 Oasis albums. But which has come out on top? Is it the stripped down indie breakthrough, definitely maybe? Or the more expansive and complex follow-up, What's the Story Morning Glory? With a score of 4.74 in second place it is. What's the Story Morning Glory, meaning in first place with a score of 4.86 is definitely maybe.
Alright, this is Liam G and I'm here to congratulate Definitely Maybe. Love that record. Without it, God knows where I'd be and God knows where we'd all be. I'll be celebrating it in my own way next year by doing some gigs, so stay tuned and listen out for details.
4.86 is a monster score. That means that pretty much everyone that voted on the poll gave that album a 5-5 perfect score. It is well deserved though. It is an album that you can't really argue with. There's no duff tracks. There's some heart-wrenching classics like Live Forever and Slide Away, and then there's some absolutely rip-snorting bangers like Cigarettes and Alcohol and Rock and Roll Star. I can understand why What's the Story came in slightly lower. It doesn't have that overall consistency of Definitely Maybe, with tracks like Hey Now and She's Electric doing something a bit different, which could then drop things down to a 4 from a 5. Plus, if you're sick of tracks like Wonderwall, then it's less likely you'll be grabbing that off the shelf as regularly. So there we have it, 121 albums that pass my Britpop test ranked by all you good people. And you didn't let me down. Yes, there's a few placings I would have had differently on my personal ranking, but ultimately, this is the fairest way to do it. So what do you think? What would be your number one? And is there any that you've never heard of that you are now going to go and check out? Let me know. Anyway, that will do it for today. Thanks for listening to the Oasis podcast, and most of all thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is and it is greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at which is where I post bonus episodes, plus you will get access to our community Discord server where all the cool kids hang out. Follow me in all the usual places and feel free to email me oasispod@gmail.com. I will be back very shortly with my real voice for more Oasis-related shenanigans, including a breakdown of the announcement of Liam's Definitely Maybe tour dates next year. Stay in touch, stay engaged and stay young.